He went to a neighbor who happened to be a pastor and asked him to borrow his horse. The pastor obliged but told the man that there was some special instructions required for riding that particular horse. The preacher said, "Since we need to begin our prayers with thanksgiving and praise, I have taught this horse to go when he hears the word, 'Thank you, God.'" The preacher continued, "Since we end our prayers with amen, I have taught the horse to stop when he hears the word, 'Amen.'" The pastor asked the man if he understood, and the man answered, "Sure, yeah, I do." So the man got on the horse and said, "Thank God," and the horse began to move. He said it again, and the horse moved faster. And he said, "Thank God again," and the horse went to a full gallop. And about that time, the man realized that he is headed straight for a cliff. He yelled, "Whoa," but the horse didn't even slow down. He starts yelling, "Stop, whoa, retreat," but the horse wouldn't stop. But for the life of him, he could not remember what to say when that horse to get that horse to stop. And finally, only feet from the edge of the cliff, the man remembered. He shouted, "Amen." And with that, the horse dug in and on all fours stopped only inches from the edge of that cliff. And wiping his forehead, the man said, "Bye-bye, horsey." Anyways, I want to talk to you this morning about exactly what I just said a minute ago before that story, praise that sets the captive free. I want to talk to you about your praise this morning. And it's a powerful tool that we have within us, this praise. As Christians, we have that ability. I realize that some of you may be uncomfortable in a worship service, maybe like we had last week when the presence of the Lord is moving heavy, but it is a powerful thing. We've seen with what just Bob just told us, with Bob, what Bob said this morning on his wife being healed. Praise can be a powerful tool that we can have, and it can change our walk with the Lord. Praising God basically means to adore Him, to honor Him, to exalt Him. When we are having a worship service here at church, we should not just come here just to sing, not just to get by in the service, maybe not just to, not just to come here because it's our weekly religious duty. But the Bible says to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and enter into His courts with praise. To be thankful in Him and bless His name. When we come into this place, we should be like a loaded gun ready to come in here and just worship the Lord. And I realize we have other things going on in our life. Things are going on. We get distracted. But there is power in our praise this morning. Praise is something that we need to make part of our everyday life. We need to praise the Lord in the morning, in the night, in the afternoon, and just to spend time with the Lord worshiping the Lord. You know, basically what praise is it's not about me. It's or what we have going on. It's all about Him and giving Him the time He deserves. You know, I've seen a lot. I've been doing worship since 1997. So that's probably, 16, 17 years I've been doing worship now. And I have seen a lot of things going on in the service. I mean, unfortunately, I have the task of being up here looking out at the folks out there in the worship service. And I see a lot of people that are distracted. They're playing around with things. They're doing other things. And I'm not saying that to condemn anybody here today. I realize that there's things going on. Somebody may say something to you and you have to talk to them. But really, our focus needs to be on our Lord. Our focus needs to have, our full attention needs to be on the Lord because it's all about Him in that service. And I want to read to you this morning about Paul and Silas. Acts chapter 16, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. I'm going to tell some of the story, and then we're going to start reading about verse 25. It's the story of Paul and Silas. It's a powerful story. And basically what was happening is Paul and Silas, they were out preaching all over in cities, all over the area, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And they were on their way to a place called prayer, the place of prayer, from what I read, is a place that they would just go and spend days and just praise the Lord and worship the Lord and spend time in prayer seeking after the Lord. And while they were on their way to that place, a demon-possessed slave girl began following them. And she had a spirit of divination. She was basically able to do like fortune-telling and to be able to tell things about people. And she would follow them and she would say, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they've come to show you the way of salvation. These men are men of the servants of the Most High God, and they've come to show you the way of salvation. These men are servants of the Most High God, and they've come to show you the way of salvation." She would repeat herself over and over and over again. And The Bible says that after several days, Paul became annoyed. Now, I had the biggest question about this when I read this, because I don't know about you, but I was thinking about Nate yesterday, my four-year-old boy. He was at the table, and he kept saying the word munchie, I think it was, Allison, wasn't it? Munchie, 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 munchie. And after about five times, I said, boy, you better stop that right now. I didn't want to hear that junk at all. But Paul listened to that for days. These men are servant of the Most High God, and they've come to show you way of salvation. What she was saying was truth. They were men of the Most High God. They were there to show her the way of salvation, show the way of salvation to people. But the fact was about it, she was probably trying to spread dissension basically there, because why is this woman that's demon-possessed and telling fortune-telling hanging around with these two guys that are men of God? She's trying to cause disbelief and cause them not to believe. And she kept on saying it for days. The Bible says many days it went by. And finally, Paul became annoyed. And he stood up and he looked back at her and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you come out of her right now. And immediately that demon left. We have power. In the name of Jesus Christ, that demon left her immediately. And but Paul commanded that demon to come out in the name of Jesus, probably because of the fact that he was so in tune with the Holy Spirit and he was walking so close to the Holy Spirit. I think that Paul was just basically waiting to hear from the Holy Spirit to say okay. That is my opinion on it from what I read, but that's the only thing I can come up with, because I know I sure couldn't wait that long. I'd been letting her have it with laying some hands on her and praying in the name of Jesus a lot sooner than that. But Paul was walking very, very close to God, apparently. But they grabbed Paul and Silas. The people got mad because she was a slave. They were making money, basically, off of her. They were selling her ability to do fortune telling, and they were out selling that, making money off doing that. And they got mad because they knew that their time of making physical gain from that, making money doing that, was coming to an end. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and they took them to the Roman leaders, the city officials. And then they told Paul and Silas, they told on them that Paul and Silas were using customs that were illegal for Romans to practice. And they began to stir a mighty uproar within the crowd about Paul and Silas, how bad they were. And pretty soon the city officials ended up having their clothes stripped from them, having them beaten. And then they were thrown into the innermost parts of the prison where they couldn't get away. The Bible says that they had stocks that were put on their legs. And what I understand from what I was reading, the stocks had holes in it. So if they were to get up and move by any means, it would bruise their ankles and cause it very painful for them to walk. Paul and Silas, by all means, was having a bad day. And I want to pick up reading in Acts chapter 16, verse 25 through 40. In verse 25 it says, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Here, I'll get it up, sorry. Suddenly there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, stop, don't kill yourself. We are all here. The jailer called for the lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household. And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who were lived in the household. I lost my place. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house and set a meal before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced because they were all believed in God. Can you go ahead and do that, Eric? I can't get it to turn on me very well. The next morning, the city officials sent to the police to tell the jailer, "Let those men go." So the jailer told Paul, "The city officials have said you and Silas are free to leave. Go in peace." But Paul replied, "They have publicly beaten us without a trial and put us in prison, and we are Roman citizens. So now they want us to leave secretly? Certainly not. Let them come themselves to release us." And when the people reported this, the city officials were alarmed to learn that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. So they came to the jail and apologized to them. Then they brought them out and begged them to leave the city. When Paul and Silas left the prison, they returned to the home of Lydia. There they met with the believers and encouraged them once more. Then they left town. You know, the thing I want to point out to you is basically where I started out in verse 25. The table turned when they began to praise in their situation. That situation, that thing they were going through, that hard time they were going through, when they began to praise God and worship God, the whole thing turned around for them. And, you know, some of the points that I want to mention to you this morning is, first of all, it was praise that made that prison bearable for them. Paul and Silas were obediently serving the Lord when they found themselves in this situation. They were ministering the gospel. They were sharing the gospel. And then they find themselves getting beaten. You know, we need to realize as Christians, it's not going to be all a cakewalk. It's not going to be all an easy thing for us to do. They could have pouted and they could have complained about their circumstance. I often wondered what I would have done, what we would have done in that circumstance. They could have whined and pouted. They could have just complained about the whole thing. Where was God during this whole situation? But they didn't. They were bound, bloodied, bruised, and beaten. But they were praying and praising God. I believe Paul and Silas were so in tune with the Holy Spirit, they were walking so close to the Holy Spirit, that they trusted that He would bring them through this situation, this time of trial. And some scriptures I just want to share with you this morning. The first one is in John chapter 16, verse 33. It says, "I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Another scripture I want to share with you this morning is found in James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Now I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, if you're wondering which I'm reading out of. And then there's Philippians 4:12 that says, "I know how..." This is Paul himself speaking right here. He says, "I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little." Paul knew he was following so close to the Lord, so close to the Holy Spirit, that he didn't care what situation he was in. He had been saved. He had that Damascus Road experience where he was pulled out and the Lord saved his soul. He had an awesome experience with God. And he didn't care whether he had food on his table or not. He knew that God would provide for him. He didn't know if he was going to be in a situation where he was beaten and thrown in prison or not. But he knew God was going to take care of him. When we put our trust in the Lord, we need to realize that although the things we are going through may seem huge at the time, it is only temporary. He is going to help us and bring us through that situation. I don't know about you guys, but I have gotten myself all worked out about things before. And get all worried about it, worried about how things are going, and it ended up blowing over and wouldn't be nothing. But I get so worked up about it, instead of trusting God, that He's going to bring me through a situation. When you praise God in the good times, you will be prepared to praise Him when the things are not going the greatest. You know, I was growing up in church, and we had this lady in church that would come to church when things were at the worst, when things were going bad. You would see her pop in, and she was praising God. She was giving everything to Him. But when the situation would get good and things were getting good, she would disappear, and we wouldn't see her again for another year or two. And then all of a sudden, things got bad again. Something bad happened again. She would be back in the church, praising God, giving her everything, just praising Him with everything He got, and then she would disappear again. God doesn't want us like that. He wants us sold out. He wants us to be like this. He would rather us be at a steady incline instead of like this. He wants us to trust in Him in every situation. You know, there's a song by Casting Crowns that talks about praising you in the storm also. And the words to the chorus says, I'll praise you in the storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. Every tear I've cried, you hold it in your hand, you never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm. God wants us to praise Him when things are bad and when things are good. We may wonder where God is in that situation, but if we would just hold out and wait, He's going to come. I don't know why He waits sometimes, but He does. But He does show up. So God made their praise bearable. They were walking with the Holy Spirit, and God made His praise bearable. The next thing I want to point out to you is, it was their praise that brought their deliverance. In verse 26 it read, suddenly there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Folks, there's power in your praise. They began to praise the Lord, and God sent an earthquake just to come in there and destroy that jail basically because of them. You can ask the Lord to take something from you and begin to praise the Lord and thank Him for doing it, and He will do it. How do I know? Because it's worked in my life. When I gave my life to the Lord, there was something in my life that I did not understand why God didn't take from me. And I had to deal with it for several years. And I began to realize who I was in Christ and figure out who I was in Christ. And I began to ask Him, Lord, I need You to take this from me. I need You to get it out of my life. And then I began to thank Him and praise Him for it. And I would say, Lord, I thank You that You've made me more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. The greater is Jesus that is in me than he that is in this world. Lord, I thank You that I am a new creation in Christ. The old things have passed away. That thing that I had in my past, it's gone. All things have become new. God has made me more than a conqueror in Christ. And I would repeat that day after day after day. And that thing that was such a big deal to me that I was battling with, it left. And I wonder if God taught it, gave it to me, just allowed me to go through it, basically to teach me a lesson, to allow me to pull through that situation. First Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you, but is such as common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with that temptation, He will provide the way of escape also, and that you may be able to endure it. God will help you through that situation. But sometimes He doesn't just deliver us out of it. But He does deliver us out of it. He just wants us to help. You know, another thing He did was their praise set them free. That earthquake took place, and when that earthquake took place, that jail cell broke. It broke open. The jail broke open, and they were free. The stocks and the chains that were binding them, they had them held, they broke, and they were free. They were free from the control of that jailer that was watching over them to make sure they stayed in there. And I want to point out to you, when we praise God, the enemy loses control. Did you hear me? When we praise God, the enemy loses control. You know, I was thinking about this story, and it reminds me a lot of one of my favorite stories in the Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, which is the story of King Jehoshaphat. Probably one of my favorite stories. And in that story, King Jehoshaphat, not to get off track here too much, but King Jehoshaphat was surrounded by armies. He was in a no-hope situation. He didn't know what to do, and he turned to God. He began to fast, and he prayed. And there was a prophet that spoke up named Jehaziel, and he spoke up and told him that the Lord would deliver him from it. And they began to worship the Lord and praise the Lord. And they put their armies in front of the... They put the singers in front of the armies, and they began to worship the Lord and praise the Lord. And that singing caused confusion amongst the armies, and they began to turn on one another and began to attack one another until every last one of them had died. God took them out of a no-hope situation and delivered them out of a no-hope situation. Folks, there's power in your praise this morning. The army, instead of having to fight in that battle, they ended up just having to go around and clean up the spoil of the land, clean up all the riches. God took care of them and He blessed them. And this story reminds me a lot of that story. But not only did their praise make a situation bearable, it delivered them, it set them free, but one last thing it did was it brought salvation. You know, I wonder what was going through that jailer's head. I mean, he was getting ready to kill himself because they were going to escape. Or he thought they were going to escape. You know, the consequences of Paul and Silas and all those prisoners escaping, he would have been put to death. So he was going to kill himself, take his life. And think about what all this jailer had to see. He's seen these guys arrested. They were stripped of their clothes. They were beaten, put in stocks, basically put in the innermost part of the prison, and then they were, he's seen them praying and praising God. I know he had to think that was the oddest thing in the world, for them to be praying and praising God after all that, praying and singing while in the prison cell. And then this massive earthquake comes out of nowhere and destroys the jail so easily, and they could have escaped. But these crazy guys stayed here. I mean, that jailer had, that's a thing that just stumps me, that how close that Paul and Silas were walking to the Lord, that they knew that something was going to happen if they were obedient and stayed there. They could have ran for their life and got out of there and been free, but they decided they were going to stay there and honor the situation they were in. And because they responded in that situation gracefully and joyfully and stayed there, that man and his whole household ended up giving their life to the Lord because of their praise. Because they were willing to praise God when things did not look good, so good for them in that situation. Because they were willing to praise God for their freedom, God gave them what they were actually out doing and spreading the gospel. Would that have happened? Would that jailer have gave his life to the Lord? Would that family have given their life to the Lord if God didn't allow them to go through that situation? And I want to tell you this morning, you may be going through something in your life and you don't understand why you're going through it. You wouldn't understand why God would allow you to go through that situation. Why He would allow you to go through the pain and the hurt that you're going through. But maybe you have a family member, maybe you have a friend that's lost, and they don't know the Lord, and they're going to see how you handle that situation, how you go through that situation, and how you're turning to God and you're praising Him even though it's not the best of situations. And because you did that, they're like, I've got to have this God that you're doing, that you're serving. I've got to have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want you to be conscientious of this, because complaining is infectious. I don't know if you guys know this, but everybody complains. We're complaining right now about the snow and the cold. We've been complaining about it. It's getting a little better out now, but we complain about the snow and the cold. But the same people that are complaining about the snow and cold in July or August, they're going to be complaining because it's 95 degrees outside. We can't be happy. We can't be happy with our job. We can't be happy with our children. We can't be happy with our house we have. We can't be happy with the cars we have. With everything we have, it's infectious and it spreads. We start talking about it and then people start complaining about the same thing. But just think about it. What if instead of complaining, you begin to praise the Lord? You may be complaining about something in your life and God's saying, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. Because of the fact that somebody's listening to you and their salvation right there, God might have to go a different route to get them saved because we weren't obedient and weren't praising the Lord in that situation. I want to encourage you to take a look at what you're doing every day. How are you thinking about things? Are you complaining about things? And begin to switch your habit. Day by day, minute by minute, hour by hour, begin to praise the Lord. Thank Him. Thank Him as a form of praise. When we thank the Lord, when we give thanksgiving to the Lord, we're praising the Lord. When we thank Him for our roof over our head, we're praising the Lord. When we thank Him for the car we have to drive, it might not be the best thing in the world, but we thank Him that He gets us from point A to point B and gets us back. We thank Him that we've got money for gas to put in our car. And if we begin to turn our habit and change our habit and begin to praise the Lord, pretty soon it's going to get easier and easier and easier. And if you thought you thought complaining was infectious, praise is maybe not be as infectious, but it is powerful. It can change your situation. It can change what you're going through. People may not like doing it, but you need to realize the benefits of praise. So I want to encourage you, when we come into church next Sunday, next Wednesday, don't just come in here just to worship the Lord and get by on your religious duty and service. Realize that you are here to worship the King of Kings, and He is going to help you through that situation. Realize that there is power in your praise. Begin to worship the Lord and give Him all. He will bring you through your situation. He may save your family and friends doing it. And He will deliver you. He will make that thing bearable. But we've got to turn to the Lord and begin to praise Him instead of complaining about things. So if the worship team come forward, we're going to go ahead and close this morning.